Chris, I've ragged on Eastern Washington a good amount, especially in my mind after seeing the result to Drake. But as many fans said, Drake looked really good in that game. It didn't look like they were playing a team like Drake. It's kind of weird how those non-scholarship teams one week will look next level. You've seen that in past years. There was that one year San Diego went to, I think, Northern Arizona in the playoffs. And it was like, geez, I mean, they're just roughing them up. But then, like, you get them in the playoffs against a team that they match up very well against, it, like, or don't match up well against. Like, last year, I think Drake lost to North Dakota State 66-0 or something obnoxious like that. So it kind of goes back and forth with those Pioneer teams. But anyways, leaving the game last week, you lose at home to Drake. What were the vibes like amongst the fan base?
Exactly what you'd expect. You know, it's a tough situation because we finished with 4 wins last year. You know, and there was more hope going into this. And obviously the area that Eastern has needed to improve for a long time has been deep. And the rush defense is actually playing fairly well. Our strength is supposed to be the passing D, but our corners just got owned. And Drake could run outside plays all day long and beat us to the edge and pick up big chunks of yardage. And then there were a lot of mistakes. Both teams were penalized a ton. I think there were 26 total penalties. Some of them were costly. Drake had a really, really tough call late in the game that they may have won it outright if that hadn't happened. And then that also occurred for Eastern. So it's the kind of situation where it's non-scholarship opponent. You should be winning this by 3 or 4 touchdowns if you're Eastern Washington University. The fact that you lose, it's disappointing is putting it too lightly. You know, so there's a lot of soul searching and you know, the schedule doesn't get easier. I mean, it's Southeast Louisiana this week down in Hammond, Louisiana. That's winnable, I suppose. But then you're at Nevada, and then you just go into a murderer's row of teams in conference after that. And so now all of a sudden you're looking at, well, we're going to be better. Maybe we're above 500. Maybe we contend for an at-large bid you know, where are we going to pick up additional wins? But it's early, you know, and – you know, like a lot of coaches say, you're never as bad in a loss as you think you are, and you're never as good in a loss as you are. So there's still time to right the ship, but it was pretty demoralizing for the fans.
And this game this weekend is going to suck for the players. I mean, both teams. But down in Hammond, you know it's going to be humid. It's supposed to be 90. It's supposed to rain this week. They're in a tropical storm watch. So you know it's just going to be sticky and humid and just super hot. It is going to be a terribly miserable game to play in. So I guess we'll see what they enjoy down there.
It was 95 at kickoff, and it was the hottest game ever in the history of Cheney.
Well, yeah, but this is Louisiana heat. A little bit different
than
the Palouse.
Yeah, I know. It's humidity and all that kind of stuff. But 95 is 95, especially when you're entering fall and the sun's at a lower angle, so it's a hotter, more direct type heat. I don't think anybody really loved it that much, and I think that they would much prefer to play in the temps in the 50s.
Well, we might as well jump into the show. This is the FCS Wedge presented by AnyGivenSaturday.com. I am Lance Burt, presenting out of small town Bainville, Montana, with my two hoodlum cats. Mika is usually our guest, but Goose, his mom's not home, so he's just been a rowdy, crazy guy. I don't know what team he would root for, whatever one whines the most, but I won't burn him right now. But anyways, with me as always, Chris Callum, Cheney Washington. We've talked about their demise that they've encountered this next weekend. On to another red team. As I talked about in the review show, it's a little bit of excitement. This was a solid game last year between two teams that ended up having a good season. UC Davis goes to Southern Utah, the former Big Sky battle. Now it's a non-conference. It's a non-conference game between teams not too far away, but should be a great one, don't you think, Chris?
Yeah, it's a really interesting and one. You know, 10 years ago, that would not have been interesting at all. You know, like you mentioned in the recap show, the Thunderbirds are on the rise. I mean, they had a nice season last year, 6-5, no real bad losses. They were close to being a playoff team. And then you follow that up this year with an FBS win against UTEP last week. So they're playing good football down there in Cedar City. Both teams have become more run-oriented and physical of late. You know, Davis is – they're a physical team. They're big. They can push people around a little bit up front. And they also have, I think, probably the best running back in the Big Sky in Lamb Nerison. But you also have the Hastings kid, Miles Senior. He's been around for a minute. He's experienced. He can throw the ball. He can put up some big numbers throwing the ball. So they have some balance. Southern Utah, they're going to run it first. They put up 268 yards on the ground last week. They also played good defense. They held UTEP to 124. So I think this is going to be a fairly physical game. Southern Utah's at home. I think either one of these teams has a shot at being an at-large bid this year. I think they have high hopes for the season, so we'll see what happens.
Well, yeah, and that L-squared guy from UC Davis, he had kind of a tough year last year. Started off so well, but then got hurt against Eastern Washington. He runs for 255 yards on just 22 carries, just kind of embarrasses the program as a whole. But then went down with an injury, missed a month. That kind of set UC Davis back a little bit. And then he finished the season with 101, 138, 264, and 121. Ended up earning all-conference, I believe, first team, but maybe second team, running back position honors. But, yeah, so he's a very good running back out of Idaho. They brew him well there sometimes. Nice burly guy, 6 foot 215. Is going to get out there and make some punches. And then Southern Utah, they're running the ball pretty well too. Miles Hastings, I compare a little bit to Nick Baker, where they were there forever. He was there at Southern Illinois forever, but never really greatly impressed me. It seems like he never does the great things. So he's there, he's veteran, but I don't know how outlandish I'm going to step up and say, oh yeah, watch this guy. Next on the docket, we've got a rematch from last year's playoffs, a game that went differently than I think people thought it was going to happen. Albany goes into Idaho and knocks off the Vandals in the quarterfinals of the playoffs last year, knocks them off 30-22. So since that point, Albany did what CAA teams like to do in road games against the Missouri Valley in the playoffs. Shout out New Hampshire a few years ago. And just got embarrassed in the semifinals, 59-0 against South Dakota State. But they turn around this year. They lose Reese Poffenbarger, transfer portal, kind of a little bit of switch. They barely beat Long Island in their first game of the year and then go to West Virginia and get beat by pretty handily. So now they have to go on the road to Idaho, a team that looks somehow better than last year, even though they got decimated by the transfer portal, losing both their quarterback and running back. And I believe their wide receiver is gone too. But anyways, Idaho still's got their coach there and he's got them playing well. Chris, what do you think about this game? Do you have any thoughts?
Super impressed with Idaho so far. I mean, they did lose a ton. And so I think, you know, Eck is doing a heck of a job as a coach. He's not offensive coordinator by trade, but his defense is playing well so far this year. And then with Albany, another team, you're right. I mean, they also lost a ton of players. And that was a heck of a game last year. They got to travel across the country. I think Idaho may be the best team in the Big Sky Conference. You know, it remains to be seen, obviously. But if their offense can catch up to a new wrinkle, then look out. Because I think that they have a huge amount of potential and upside this season. But they'll need this win early in the year. Get to 2-1, you know, before they enter into conference play. So this will be a fun one to watch. It could be done.
I think they need to show a little more offense before I can crown them tops in the conference, especially with the youth at the quarterback position. They haven't necessarily had a great quarterback performance, and then they're struggling with injury. They're probably going to have to play a freshman, one of the four, this week. We'll see what they can do with that. But, yeah, defense has been so strong. They're playing like Weber State. Where you're not going to get much from offense, but defensively. And Albany, they need to respond. They can't be a one-off in the CAA. Granted, as we've mentioned, CAA is weak as it could ever be this year. Next game down the line, Incarnate Word. They're together, a tough schedule. They go to South Dakota State. Now they back it up going to Southern Illinois. Do they stand a chance in this one?
Oh, they stand a chance. You look at both of these. They've been playing good football for a number of years now. Incarnate Word, they've lost seven games total over the last three. So they're an offensive-oriented club, need to play better defense. You don't see a lot of defense being played in the Southland Conference, the exception of McNeese, who doesn't have any offense. So I think they have a shot to go into Southern Illinois. Southern Illinois can suffer from inconsistency at times, but both of these, if they're not powerhouses in the FCS, they're knocking on the door. Southern Illinois has replaced quite a bit, but they have a 1-2 punch going at running back with Sean Lester Jr. And then Jalen, his last name escapes me. They both combined for 166 yards on over 6 yards per attempt in their opener. Keep an eye also on the Salukis' Ben Bogle on defense. He is credited with 12 tackles, including 5.5 tackles for a loss and 3.5 sacks last week against Austin Peay. That's a heck of a lot of productivity. Should be a really good game.
Yeah, I agree. It's an interesting setup for both programs. It's continually impressive the way Southern Illinois hangs in there. You wait for them to drop off. I mean, the Missouri Valley is just dominated so much by those North Dakota teams. Valley fans, Valley original fans hate those lines, but, I mean, it's true. North Dakota, South Dakota, South Dakota State, North Dakota State as a whole dominate the Missouri Valley. I mean, it's wild that those four have stepped in and just had their way with the conference. I mean, you look at South Dakota, yes, that there's years where they struggle. Most of the time, they're not up there. But the fact that there's been multiple moments where all four are at that high level, it's to be seen. But Southern Illinois, they stick in there, and they're kind of sticking themselves up higher than Northern Iowa. You would expect Northern Iowa to stick up there with that northern half of the conference. But it's Southern Illinois that's been that consistent force. So then we go out to the SoCon, early season SoCon game. SoCon does this because the big part of it is because their teams often get those late season FBS games. You got those SEC teams that want to play a Patsy in November schedule SoCon teams. And so because of that, SoCon often has week one, two, three, or four games between conference opponents. So here we go. We've got Chattanooga hosting Mercer. Chattanooga, tough start to the year. They've lost just narrowly to Georgia State and then got smoked by Tennessee. But Tennessee might be a secret national title, or at least playoff contender. They've got one of the best quarterbacks in the country, in my opinion. But anyways, then their game with Georgia State, they took them to the wire. This is Georgia State. They're an FBS team. They haven't been terrible since they moved up. They routinely put average bowl game line type season. Chattanooga had them on the ropes. Georgia State had to score in the fourth quarter to take the lead and wins by three. And then Mercer does what Mercer does. And they just want to get away from this, I think, and somehow change it, at least on the one side. But Mercer dominates teams lesser than them, but they aren't very good against teams better than them. They just don't beat teams better than them. That's why we haven't seen them move up to that next level. They do so well against lower teams that it's just like, this is Mercer's year. I'm ready to buy in. And then they just let you down when they play those big games. Well, anyways, Mercer, they're stepping up now. They've had some changeover, but DJ Smith looking solid at the quarterback position, running the ball. They kind of have a few guys up there, but Dwayne McGee's kind of leading the charge at this point. But their defense keeps improving each year, and so that's going to be the key, because Chattanooga, I think they showed this last week with Georgia State that their defense isn't terrible. I mean, Georgia State passed the ball pretty well, but still didn't gain more than 400 yards. I think Chattanooga, especially at home, is going to put up a fight, reclaim their season after having to schedule two FBS games. It'll be a battle.
Yeah, and you know, with Chattanooga, they've been a defense slash run the football type team. for quite a while now, and so you can't really learn a lot when they're playing two FBS teams, especially considering one of them is Tennessee. They get a win here at Mercer, and then they play Portland State at home. So they have a lot of time to kind of right the ship. So, and they have an interesting showdown last week, non-conference, but instead of against an SEC, they're playing Austin Peay. Both might be in the hunt for a playoff spot. So both of these teams have a lot to play for still. Good battle.
Yeah, this is Mercer's chance to get a good win to start the year, jump into the round of conference play. Another fun non-conference game out there. Big Sky and what used to be the Southland. Nichols still kind of reigns down there in that Southland conference, but it's a really broken up Southland conference. But anyways, Nichols State, a team that goes to the playoffs last season, goes to Sacramento State, a team that also went to the playoffs last season. They won a road game at North Dakota before losing in a close game at South Dakota. Well, anyways, Nichols State at Sac State, big non-conference game, don't you think, Chris?
It kind of is a bit, you know, and both teams are winless, right? Yeah, they're both winless so far, but they've played up both games. Colonels opened with Louisiana Tech and LSU, and they put some points on the board. I think they scored 24 and 30 in respectively in those two games, which is pretty impressive. You know, and they finished last season winning seven out of their last eight to get in the playoffs before they eventually got just absolutely pounded by Southern Illinois 35-0. So the Colonels, their run first team, their defense appears to be fairly solid, though. They gave up less than 400 yards to LSU, so that's awfully impressive. As far as the Hornets go, actually, there's the 24-30. They scored 24 and 30 points against their two Mountain West opponents, both decent in San Jose State. And then who was the second game? Fresno State. I think their defense needs to improve. I think that's their obvious weak spot. You look at quarterback position, Caden Bennett's back. He's a senior. Had a very solid season passing the football last year. Threw it for like 2,700 yards, 22 touchdowns. He also ran it for 500 yards. It's the SEC opener for both teams. I expect it to be a really tight game.
Yeah, you mentioned it. Sac State's played two very solid Mountain West programs. San Jose State not as good lately, but they start the year. They beat Air Force, who I believe Air Force, let's see, last year, did they win double digits? No, they went 9-4, but they were close. They started the year 8-0 and then lost their last four and then did win their bowl game against James Madison. But so Air Force team coming into the year with a lot of hopes. They host San Jose State and get beat. So that's a Sac State team that's played two tough FBS opponents and played them well. Fresno State always are normally very solid in that conference. Anyways, this was a big game last year. Nichols hosted Sac State right at the very start of the year. Sac State goes in, wins 38-24, and this was kind of the win that got Sac State in the playoffs. They were right there on the border. They had lost to UC Davis to finish the season, so you had a loss to UC Davis. They were both 7-4, but Sac State gets in. Probably because they had a FBS win over Stanford, and then the big non-conference win over Nichols. Well, anyways, this year they get another opportunity to get a solid non-conference win. They have to go to Texas A&M Commerce. They go to Northern Arizona. They avoid Montana this year, but they do have to go to Bozeman. So they've got some tough games out there. But yeah, it's an opportunity. Then we've got just a very interesting non-conference game. Usually it's the other way around. Between Chris's two favorite conferences and what he thinks are the two best out there, we've got the CAA and the SoCon. CAA, I used to praise up as much as I could, but I'm really starting to hate them because they're so big now with so many crappy teams. They didn't expand. Granted, yes, I know the Big Sky did that for a while, and I was annoyed by it the whole time. But here, I mean, you look at William & Mary's schedule. They get to play Campbell, so a decent program, but they play Hampton, North Carolina A&T, Bryant. These are conference games for them. And then they play Stony Brook, who's kind of stinking now. They do get Elon, Richmond, and Towson. But anyways, they play Wofford, a team that's revitalized. They've been just terrible the last few years. Let's Well, I want to remember what we've got here. Wofford, what was the team of the 2010s, practically? They had an underrated team of the 2010s. Granted, North Dakota State is the team of the 2010s. That's not what I mean. But, like, team in their conference of the 2010s. Wofford makes the playoffs 7 times in the decade. And since then, they go 1-4 in the COVID year, 1-10 2021, then 3-8 and 2-9. I mean, they've been just terrible. But here, they're maybe turning it around. They start off with 2 great road wins. They get to host William & Mary to start their home slate and look for something exciting. As I mentioned, they've got Amari Odom leading the show at the quarterback position. He's done pretty well his first couple games for the Terriers. And then William & Mary coming off a tough loss to a solid FBS program, Coastal Carolina, year after year, has just been dominant at the G5 level. But William & Mary had a great year 2 years ago. Last year, they underperformed as much as any team in their region did. But they still have Darius Wilson playing a quarterback position, and they still have Bronson Yoder, running back. So you've got a nice balance. I always say they run a little. Darius Wilson's pretty mobile quarterback. They're going to move it around. It's going to be a solid game back and forth. But I like Wofford. I think they've got a little momentum going.
You know, it's interesting too. Is historically these were 2 of your premier triple option teams, and look at them now. I mean, Wofford had 35 pass attempts. William & Mary had less at 21, but that's still more probably than multiple years, you know, back in the past. So that's an interesting change for both of these programs. Wofford, it took them a couple of years to get their sea legs underneath them with a non-triple option offense, and they're having some success finally.
Well, I was going to do something, another segment at the end, but we kind of ran long. We had a lot of games to get through, so we'll get to it next week. So that will wrap us up for our Week 3 preview show. Big game this upcoming weekend, a lot of solid games. I mean, there's many games we didn't talk about that's going to make some noise in this early season. And so look forward to that. I'm Lance Burnt. With me, as always, Chris Callum, our producer, Troy Burnt, my much quieter cats for this show, Mika and Goose. We're looking out for a good one this weekend. You guys have a good week and watch some great football this weekend. We'll talk to you guys later.
Go Northern Iowa.